This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Possibly, and this is of course debatable and an arguable point, but one of the most famous passages of Scripture comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, we may have all heard that verse hundreds of times, but there's one amazing thing about Scripture that should always be true of us, because it's always true anyway of Scripture. Every time we read a passage, it should still be as fresh and new to us as it was the first time we ever read it or heard it. And of course, that's true of this verse too. Again, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice here that demonstrates is present tense. Yes, this is a grammar detail, but oftentimes we need to be able to notice details like this when we're reading Scripture, because in this verse, it really does reveal something wonderful. If you've ever watched one of those science shows, you know, the host is doing a demonstration. The host will put on some demonstration that's supposed to teach us something cool about our world and about science. And it's usually something flashy and audacious that will keep the audience's attention. And the live studio audience and the people watching on TV are usually amazed by this amazing detail that's revealed. And that's the case here. God demonstrates something that is audacious and something that should amaze us. As a matter of fact, God's demonstration Paul's telling us about is life-changing. Even when we feel worn down by life and by the world, we should never lose our amazement over the fact that he is demonstrating, or that he demonstrates, his love for us. It's present tense. That means it's ongoing. It doesn't stop. He's continuing to display his love for us. Then, of course, died is past tense. God demonstrates his own love toward us, then Christ died for us. Again, the present tense implies that he is demonstrating, his demonstration of love is ongoing and unending. And it's happening even today. It will happen tomorrow and the next day after that. His love for us is an ongoing phenomenon. He never stops loving us, and he will never stop showing us his love. Have we ever really stopped to think about that? Or have we grown callous to this reality in such a way that when we hear about it, we go, yeah, I've heard about this a million times. Yes, God loves me. But we should never let ourselves get to the point that we stop being amazed over God's love for us. Now back to the verse. The past tense died implies that the death of Christ happened once for all, and it never needs to be repeated. It's done. The ultimate act of love never needs to be done over. Peter tells us that Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Now, Jesus expressed this idea beautifully and perfectly, of course, when he was on the cross. At the end, right before he died, Jesus said, "It is finished. The work was done. It never has to be repeated. It's a completed act. Our redemption was sealed on that very day and at that moment when Christ died." But before we go on, let's look at the first words of this verse. There's an amazing two-word phrase at the beginning of this verse. But God. This follows verse 7, where Paul discusses a bit of life's reality. In our humanity, we have a great hesitation to make a sacrifice for someone we don't know, or about whom we're not so sure. Paul tells it this way, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." There's the element of this, his saying, that there are those who may not need the help. Of course, in the case of our salvation, that wasn't true of anyone. But then, there are the maybes. Well, that person may need some help. And we look at that in our humanity in everyday to-day situations, where, do I really need to go help that person do something? Do they really need my help? No, I don't know. I'm not going to go out of my way for them. They're obnoxious. They're ornery critters. I don't want to put myself out for them in the least. But Paul says, but God. But God saw the ultimate need and stepped in for the rescue. He wasn't going to leave anything to chance. He wasn't going to leave anyone wondering. He wasn't going to leave us in doubt. He saw the biggest need we had and determined that he was going to meet it no matter what. We were lost and without hope. But God. Now let's return to our main text. Why did Paul use the present tense, God demonstrates? I would have expected Paul to say, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Was not the death of Christ, when it happened, the demonstration of God's love? And did that demonstration not happen in the past? I think the clue is given a few verses before, where Paul says, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. In other words, everything God does and everything God allows is to bring us to the place where we refine the trait of hope. He wants us to learn such a deep dependence on Him that we learn to walk in unshakable and immovable hope. He wants us to see His hand at work in every situation, so that we develop such hope that no one or nothing can rattle us. Because we have hope. Now how? It's in the next line where Paul tells us that God has given us His Holy Spirit. Paul answers in the next line, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts. The tense of this verb means that God's love was poured out in our hearts in the past, at our conversion, and it's still present and active. But He poured that love into us. That's a key word. Imagine a pitcher pouring water into a glass. It's not a squeeze bottle where you see the server squeeze tightly to get the last few drops out. This server, the person of the Holy Spirit, tips that pitcher and pours in that love and hope in an abundant flow. He fills it to the top until that glass can hold absolutely no more. That's how much of His hope and love He's poured out into us. He kept pouring until we could hold no more. As a matter of fact, He kept on going, because I think that's what David meant in Psalm 23 when he said, my cup runs over. Because God is still continuing to pour out His love for us in such amazing quantities that we can't contain it. But there's a lot of it we can draw and draw into our lives. That love for us has been permanently displayed for us in that He gave us His only Son. He gave us His all. We can hold no more. That love for us has been permanently displayed because He gave His Son for us. He gave us His very best. Yet that demonstration has another key word with it. It was His own love. This tells us that the love is real. This tells us that that love is personal. God's heart was and is in it. It wasn't and isn't piecemeal. He isn't going to give us half of His effort. It's His own love, and it's from the very living heart of God. God did demonstrate His own love for us in giving us His only Son to die once for all in the past for all our sins. And His greatest desire is that we all, each and every one of us, experience this love for us right now, to make His love for us a part of our present reality. He wants, longs for, desires, and yearns for us to experience His love now. The wonderful thing about this is that if we experience His love now, we also get His hope, His character, and His peace. It's a package deal. When you receive the love of God, you also get the peace of God that passes all understanding. And to get it, all we really have to do is ask. If we ask, He will open the eyes of our hearts to taste and see the glory and the beauty of the presence of His Spirit and the guarantee it gives that nothing ever can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So let's take a minute now and let's pray and ask Him that His love be poured into us. Father, we come to You. Father, we come in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. We pray right now, Lord, that You will pour out Your love into us, that You will leave no part of our glass, the glass of our lives, the vessel of our lives, unfilled, and that You will fill it up to overflowing where, like David, we can say, my cup runs over. Father God, we pray that You will so fill us that we will have a truly life-changing experience with You right now, this very day. Because God, Your love is a reality. Your love is real. Your love is solid. Your love is permanent. And Your love is from Your very heart. And we can't do any better than receiving the love that's been poured out for us from Your very own heart into ours. So, Lord, prepare us to receive that bountiful blessing. In Christ's name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.